Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny, welcome back. 106.7 The Fan. We're trying to give away $1,000 every hour. Your next chance to win a K is at noon. Make sure you're listening to Pete's update in 57 minutes. Let's go to the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. J.P. Finley from NBC Sports Washington joins us. J.P., get us up to speed on Zach Brown leaving the practice field after just a couple plays of 11-on-11.
Yeah, I mean, certainly not what Redskins fans want to hear. They were in 11-on-11 drills. Brown kind of limped off. I followed him over to the trainer's tent, and he laid down and sorry, I'm at practice and folks are talking to me. He laid down on the trainer's tent. Two medical staff attended to him, put a big old ice wrap on his left, either his upper knee or his thigh. Brown was visibly upset. It didn't seem like anything major, but he wasn't happy. His helmet's off. He's on the sideline. I do not expect him back at practice today. And we probably won't get much more of an update until Jay Gruden's not scheduled to speak again until tomorrow morning, so it could be that late, but odds are we might find something out before then.
Yes, for Parnovic Finley, you don't get MRIs because everything's fine, right? I mean, you asked the question, I heard you said, isn't it alarming? And Jay tried to dismiss it, but it sounded like to me he was biting something, whether it was his lip, his tongue, or whatever the heck else. What was this Josh Doctson precautionary or whatever MRI all about? Again, you don't get one because everything is A-OK, right?
You know, that's what I thought too, Danny, and that's why I kind of pushed on Jay a little to get more information about the MRI. But he's out here today, and that's all you can really judge it on. He's doing every drill, every other receiver is. You know, receivers don't have a lot of high-contact drills in Richmond anyway, but, you know, he's out here bumping with corners and press coverage and, you know, fighting to get off the line of scrimmage. And everything looks fine with Josh so far. We'll get to talk to him coming off the field, I imagine. So maybe he'll explain it, but, you know, Doctson is often a man of very few words. So he might just say everything's fine, and that'll be that. But to me, it's something worth watching. Here's where I stand on it. Clearly the Achilles is troubling because he lost his whole rookie year to Achilles injuries. Had that been a torn Achilles that he had surgery on, rehabbed, everything is better, that would make sense. But nobody ever figured out what the Achilles injuries were that rookie season. Right. So for the Achilles to pop back up on an undiagnosed injury seems a little bit more alarming to me. I understand why Jay tried to dismiss the conversation, especially because he's out here and everything looks fine. But in my eyes, it's something we're going to have to monitor for a while.
J.P. Finley on Grant and Danny getting you up to speed of what's going on at practice this morning. My favorite thing when I covered the team at practice was watching one-on-one drills. And look, they are impossible for corners to look good in. They're really difficult for offensive linemen to look good in. But they can be somewhat revealing. What have you seen O-line, D-line? Have they gotten going today? And I'm particularly curious about Daron Payne.
Dude, so, Grant, I'm actually watching that right now. And
I thought so, because that whistle makes me think they're, like, right. Blowing plays dead.
Tom Sula and Callahan are barking about 40 feet away from where I'm standing. 7-on-7 is going on the other side of the practice field, and 7-on-7 is fun to watch. Fans enjoy that because, you know, a receiver makes a good play, a quarterback makes a good throw. But this is what matters for me, especially early in camp. Daron Payne looks super strong. He's getting his hands up in. He's going up against centers and guards. I haven't seen him have a rep against Brandon Scherff. And like you said, Grant, that, you know, as much as the receivers have the advantage of one-on-one against corners, the D-line has the advantage here because there's no threat of a run or anything else. It's just they're trying to get upfield against the offensive line. And keep in mind also, I haven't seen Trent Williams, Morgan Moses, Ty Nsekhe. None of those guys are taking reps. But right now, the D-line looks great. Matt Ioannidis looks good. Daron Payne just abused somebody. I can't even see who that was. But, I mean, in the backfield quick, and the strength is so visible. I remember talking with some scouts, and the biggest thing they talked about with Payne is a lot of – I mean, all these guys are huge physical monsters, right? But Payne is able to translate his strength into his hands, and you're seeing it quickly here. It's pretty impressive.
At JP Finley NBCS, you got to give him a follow if you care about the Redskins. Does an awesome job covering them from 360 degrees. All right, Johan Pietro Finley, the Jordan Reed medical plan. They've got, I guess, a scheme to kind of try to keep him healthy and upright. It's to me the biggest thing that's got to go on with this team. They need him. They need his how dynamic he is. They need him in matchups. They need to figure out he's their best weapon. They need him on the field. Tell us about what you know about this medical plan or idea that he's going to be healthy this year as opposed to years past.
Don Rickles. So it's tough to know so far. And part of it, I'm legitimately curious. The fields down here are soggy. They're pretty messy. And, Grant, you'll see it when you come over here. I mean, the sidelines where we have to stand are just a mud pit. And the drill field in particular is like walking on a waterbed. Now, normally guys they're easing back from injury would be over on that drill field. Nobody's over there today, but I think part of that is because the field is such a mess. I think with Jordan Reed, he's out here today. There's also no pads today. There's no hitting going on. I think you're going to give Jordan Reed, you know, every couple days he gets a day off. And that's what they've done with Trent Williams in the past. I think they'll do that with Chris Thompson. I think we'll see that with Morgan Moses. I think we'll see that with Ty Nsekhe. And they're going to be judicious about what drills these guys do and when they use them and how much they use them. And I think it's a smart play, but, you know, seeing Jordan Reed out here on the field is certainly a good sign for this Redskins football team.
JP Finley on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. So when they were in nickel, it sounded like Josh Norman and Quentin Dunbar were outside and Orlando Scandrick's in the slot. And I get that how guys line up on the first day of camp doesn't mean a whole lot, but is there plan or hope that Scandrick would be the starting nickel corner and slot guy, or do they want Fabian Moreau or somebody like Josh Holsey when he gets healthy to push him? How does that going to work?
I certainly think they hope for Fabian to push for that job. And the other thing is Scandrick's been hurt a ton, and I don't think you can count on 16 games from him just based on, you know, recent history. So they better hope Moreau gets going. Josh Holsey's on the pup. I'm not sure how big of a deal that is. I think Josh Holsey might have been fighting for a job anyway with the addition of, you know, Adonis Alexander and Greg Stroman. But I think they're expecting a lot out of Moreau. I was in Miami with DJ Swearinger. We caught up with Fabian Moreau. They did a workout together. Moreau looks great. He actually shed a few pounds. He shed he's only 8 or 9 pounds just to try to get a little quicker and help him turn the hips. We will see what happens. But I think the bigger question is, where does Fabian land? Is he a slot guy or is he an outside guy? And then maybe they want to move Dunbar inside. That'll be interesting to see, too. If Scandrick is just your slot corner, I think he has value as long as he stays healthy.
Left tackle for the Philadelphia Eagles, Jason Peters-Finley. Give me your assessment here, just kind of as we go through camp. Just talking this running game, the Geis hype train is real. It's a rocket ship to Canton already. The guy hasn't taken a carry in pads just yet. To me, I think there's a scheme issue. I think there's a problem with their tight ends and the way they block. I'm worried about LaValle at left guard. All those things have me kind of watered down in terms of my expectations of Geis, but that hasn't slowed Redskins fans down one iota. What do you think is realistic for him in terms of yardage, totals, usage this year?
Belgian-born jazz guitarist Django Reinhardt. I've been saying that.
Buddy.
With Geis, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, I'm watching right now an 11-on-11 drill, and I'm not sure. He's going to, at least early in the year, be part of a timeshare. We know Chris Thompson's going to have his role, and Thompson's good in his role, and they shouldn't try to get away from that at all. But here's one guy that just caught a nice 25-yard catch, Jeremy Sprinkle, and he's important. You talk about the scheme. They rely on their tight ends. They play a lot of two tight end sets. Mm-hmm. They run out of that a lot. They need better blocking from the tight ends. I think if Sprinkle is able to take a real step forward this year, that could help them a lot, but in two facets. One, maybe Jordan Reed's not out there in run situations, which I think would be an advantage for the run and for Jordan. And two, maybe they have more faith in that setup where they like to run. I mean, you can talk about the scheme all you want and running on first downs and all that. I don't know that Gruden's going to change his offense. I don't expect that to happen. And as bad as they've been running the ball, well, here comes Darius Geis, and he looks pretty good. Not going to lie to you. Realistic expectations, I think 800 yards is realistic. I mean, Samaje Perine, I believe, had over 600 yards last year and, frankly, wasn't very good. So, you know, if you get enough carries, you're going to pile up some yards. I think the biggest goal for Geis and for this Redskins offense running the ball is averaging 4 yards a pop. You know, last year they were at 3.4 yards per carry. I think they were last in the NFL with that. That's not going to get it done. So the focus should be on getting that number higher, regardless if it's Geis, if it's Rob Kelly for a little bit, if it's Chris Thompson. But I think Geis will be your bell cow running back. I think there's no doubt about that.
JP, thanks for the time. Enjoy the rest of the day, and I'll see you over at the field in a little bit.
Sounds good. Can I ask a question? Is Strasburg on the DL again?
Yes.
What the hell is going on?
Neck injury.
Why?
A pinched nerve in his neck. And we found out this morning because he was on the MLB transaction report late last night. It's a fun time, buddy.
From getting yelled at, he had to go on the DL? Is that what happened?
Pinched nerve? I don't know when it happened. He was playing catch in the outfield yesterday, and everyone said he looked normal.
Oh, my gosh. All right. more good news in that spark.
Absolutely,
yeah,
brother.
Exactly. Oh, by the way, no Anthony Rendon in this series because he's having a baby.
Ah, that's fair. Congratulations. Mazel tov, Anthony.
Exactly. Thanks, buddy.
See you, JP.
JP Finley on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. What would you consider a success for the Redskins this season? You can go win count. You can go more anecdotal if you'd like. What will it look like for them to succeed? What would you consider a failure? We'll get into that on The Fan right here on Grant and Danny.
Hey guys, it's Danny Ruhier here with something that's very near and dear to my heart. Bike MS. It's an unforgettable journey in the mission to find a cure for multiple sclerosis. Join the MS Society for a great cause on September 29th. That's September 29th, where you'll enjoy a traffic-free ride past some of DC's iconic landmarks while experiencing the electricity at the starting line, fantastic, unparalleled ride support, and the personal accomplishment you'll feel as you cross that finish line. Start or join a team today. Go to bikems.org.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. It is apparently National Intern Day. Interns get their own national day.
Everyone gets a die.
They do. Everybody gets a die. I clicked on National Intern Day, the hashtag that's trending on Twitter, and it's a lot of people saying that interns need to be paid large sums of money, and that all interns should be paid, things like that.
Sure, I'm sure that's the whole point of internships.
By the way, yeah. A lot of people start as interns that don't get paid and end up getting paid and climbing. So I remember when we got to have interns, by the way.
Wasn't that fun? Do you remember how terrified the CBS radio was? Because some intern, I really think this was the story. There was a girl intern for whatever Puff Daddy or P. Diddy or Puff Diddy or Diddy Pity Fitty. Snoop Lion, Diddy, whatever. They were an intern for his company, and she was asked to do internship things and sued that company for, whatever. The fact that she should have been paid, even though the internship clearly said you're not going to be paid, but you're going to get valuable work experience, even though you're just a college kid. And because of that, the lawsuit, of course, is frivolous and it's nonsense, but his company still had to deal with it. CBS Radio said, as a new policy, we will no longer be having interns at any point, any time. So, like, right. The last class of interns was, like, Awad, our buddy Tlaib, and a couple other guys who are now either gone on to some things here, in Awad's case, or bigger and better things like Tlaib.
Yeah, Awad, who is the video producer for the Junkies. Brendan and Tom, who are our producers, were both interns at one point in time. Tlaib is now writing for the...
Colbert Show, yeah.
Is it the Late Show, I guess? The Colbert Show in New York. Yeah, I mean, it's a thing. That happens is you intern and you gain experience and you learn a profession. Happy National Intern Day to everyone. Hopefully your company gets to have interns and it hasn't been ruined for everybody at this point. But anyway, that's something that's being celebrated online today. Wanted to get into is it's day one of training camp. The Nats are trying to steal the spotlight from the Redskins, though, by placing Steven Strasburg on the disabled list with a nerve impingement. Tommy Malone being called up from the minors to start as they get a massive series going with the Marlins tonight. Wanted to get into the second thing on our hit list today from training camp, which is how are you going to define success for the Redskins in 2018? We are at a point now where I think you could go in a couple different directions. The Redskins have basically stayed afloat as a 500-ish mediocre team over the last few seasons. They have had a ton of injuries, and they've weathered those to still be super competitive in the 7-win mix. They have had week 17s where they missed out on the playoffs as recently as 2 years ago, or if they won, they would have gotten in. They have had a playoff run over the last three seasons. So if you look at just 3 years of football, they are collectively, I'm going to say, I always say that they got a win, not a tie against the Bengals because two missed chip shots are the reason that they tied. So basically they were 9-7, 9-7, 7-9. But they're basically a 500 team now for three straight seasons. A couple of games over that, really, if you count the near misses against Cincinnati and that inexplicable tie game in London. But the point being, Danny, we got to figure out which direction this thing's going to go. Are they going to trend a couple of games up or a couple of games down, or are they going to stay right there in the middle of the pack? And if they improve by one game and go 8-8 this year, is that a success? You know, what if they go 8-8, but they outscore their opponents by 20 points from
last
year?
And they're pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, they went 7-9, and they were minus 46 in points. They got outscored by 50. That's improvement. Is it a success? If they win nine games, that's got to be considered, I would think, a success. But what if they win nine games and they miss the playoffs? How are you going to determine this?
Here's my phrase that I keep coming back to. My my college coach, the pitching coach, called pitches, right? They based it on scouting reports, tendencies from hitters, and a whole bunch of different things. So the pitcher was allowed to shake off the catcher. But the coach always said, if you shake me off, you'd better be right. If that pitch gets tattooed, you're going to be in trouble. That's how I view this with the Redskins. They'd better be right. They decided that they didn't want to commit to the best quarterback that they have had here in some time. Some people don't like him. Some people did. You better be right. Some people they decided that, no, we don't need to go out and get a new left guard. You better be right. They didn't do things that reeked of desperation or rebuild or a team that had a couple back-to-back just okay seasons did. They're acting, and they've acted as if, since they fired Scott McLuhan, we're really good. They are behaving as if they are ready to compete, that they are a really good team. Well, here's what teams that are really good and ready to compete do. They win the division. They win at least 10 games. Maybe they win 11 games for the first time since, I don't know, the early 90s. You'd better be right. The way that they've behaved, Grant, they've done a pretty good job of building up this roster. Honestly, it's better than it's been in some time. I know Chris Russell has a piece at thefandc.com about it. This roster is better than it has been. It still lacks enough A talent for me to put them and have any shot at being one of the upper echelon teams in the NFC. I think you need more star players. That's how you get your 11 and 12 wins. But that roster overall, in terms of depth and quality of player, is better than it's been in some time, at least on paper, before injury. My view is you better be right. Here's what that means. You win the division. You've got a winning record in the division. You're not just, I hope we can compete with the Carolinas, and maybe we can be in the game against New Orleans and Atlanta. You got to win some of these games, man.
So wait a second. If they don't win the division and they go 10-6, you don't think that's a successful year?
That is correct. And here's Here's where I'm coming from. They went and got a 34-year-old quarterback, giving up assets to do it because of the situation that they put themselves in previously. You don't do that unless you think you're ready to go make a run at something. For stability for what? To go 8-8 again? To be a 9-7 team based on, we recovered a fumble with a fleck of our jersey in bounds like they did the Robert Griffin year? You do what they did because you think you're ready to go win something, to go be special.
And yeah, but I think my view is they better be right. Six, you basically proved yourself correct. I mean, they haven't been better than that since they won a Super Bowl in 91.
And that's my point.
Their best record. It would be the fourth time they've won 10 games. I don't know how. At 10 wins, at that point, you did what you're supposed to do to win the division. 10 wins generally should get you a division title. Now, I guess to clear it up, if they go 10-6 and they are basically 0 for the division, or like, 2-4 or whatever, and they hurt themselves that way, maybe you could tweak it and say it's not a success. Man, that's lofty expectations and demands. I'm actually raising the bar as well, not nearly as high as what you are. I can't even reach the bar that you've got, but I'm generally of the mix, of the belief of the group of people that says, well, I want the process to be right. I want to compete in every game. I want to have a chance in December. This is a year where, to me, you got to go 9-7. You got to have a winning record. You got to be better than you were the last couple of seasons. And the reason I say that is, number one, this is now year five for Jay Gruden.
Uh-huh.
We are deep into this tenure. When he was originally hired as a 46-year-old offensive mind, you gave him a little while to get going, and I think he did a pretty good job. But at some point, don't you have to expect more than just turning the program into a competitive group every Sunday? Now is that time. The other big factor for me here, and it goes along a little bit with your act as if notion, when they went the direction of Alex Smith, and that isn't to say went away from Kirk Cousins, but Cousins was out, that was over, there's nothing they could do about it. That was spilled milk at that point. When they decided rather than drafting a quarterback or playing the market or going and getting some up-and-coming kid like an A.J. McCarron or whoever would have been available, when they said, we're trading a really good young corner and a third-round pick for this guy because he gets to the playoffs every year, they told the fan base, going 500 is not okay. We need to be better than that. And that's why, for me, anything less than 9-7 this year is going to be a major disappointment. I'm not going to say win the division because I don't think they necessarily control that destiny because the Eagles are better than them considerably. I think the Cowboys are pretty good, and I think the Giants will be really good, and I think it's a stacked division. But they better have a winning record because, as you said, they've acted all offseason like, we're fine. We're going to be 9-7, 10-6. We don't have to go spend a bunch of money at that position. We got Sean Laval coming back. It's okay. We got Orlando Scandrick. Quentin Dunbar and Fabian Moreau are studs. We don't need to sign a corner. We're not going to bring back Bashaud Breeland, even though we could do it at a discount now. There's been a lot of that kind of thinking.
It's all facets of the organization, too. You fire Scott Campbell, or, you know, you part ways, but it made it clear that he wasn't welcome. You still don't have a general manager. We know what we're doing. Everything that this regime is doing here, GP, reeks of somebody patting themselves on the back and saying, we got it. We got it under control. Well, you better show me. And that's why my expectations are pretty lofty, because they still don't have the normal, correct process that makes NFL teams successful.
Winning a division, wow. I mean, they do that on average like once out of every 8 years.
No back-to-back NFC East winner since 2004.
Yeah, that's crazy. 800-636-1067. How about Danny Ruye? He says if the Redskins don't win the division, they had a failure of a season. He is setting the bar high. I've got him needing to win me 9 games. Get over 500, be in the mix last couple of weeks. That's a success. 800-636-1067 is the number. The Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines are open on Grant and Danny.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, let's hit the phones hard this segment on Grant and Danny. We want to hear from you guys. That's why we're here. That's why we call this station The Fan. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. You can tweet us, as always, as well, at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny. The question we're asking is, how are you going to define success for the Redskins this year? What's it going to take for you to feel good at the end of the season? We're asking you on day one of training camp. I think they got to have a winning record. I normally am of the belief that, you know, it's a little more process than result. Win count isn't as significant, you know, in terms of defining success as, did you have a chance in every single game? Did you do things the right way? Did you build the right roster? And then injuries happen and things change. But Jay Gruden's in year five. You went the direction of a veteran quarterback who you gave up a lot to bring in here. You paid a ton of money to, and you bet and pushed some chips in on Alex Smith. So for me, it's 9-7. Danny, you're thinking division title.
Yeah, everything you just said, but I double down. They said, trust us, and this is 2 straight years. They fired Scott McLuhan. They still don't have a general manager. They let go of Scott Campbell. They have moved on from competent, kind people in that organization. They have not done a rebuild. They didn't go the route of a young player. They believe they're ready to compete. Well, that's not, hey, God, I hope we get one break here and finish 9-7. I don't want to be in that middle bucket anymore. They're telling us that they're ready to go. Well, then go. Win the division. Be better than some of these teams. You got to have a winning record in the division. You got to be able to compete with some of the 9 teams last year that finished 9-7 or better. I don't think 9-7 makes the playoffs. Just doing some of the math and looking at the landscape. Now, it's obviously it's July, so a million things will change, and teams will beat each other up, and who knows how the dynamics
will go. Well, there
are
a lot of years where it doesn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, last year it wouldn't have. 9-7 would not have made it. So, but in the AFC, 9-7, two 9-7 teams made it. So you never know. But to me, there are plenty of good teams in the NFC. It looks stacked and loaded. The Redskins need to be among that group. So if they're not, to me, this is a disappointment. They've set the expectations here. If they set the expectation of, hey, we're going to rebuild. We're going to go and you know draft a kid, or we're going to go young, or we're going to give experience to some of these young players, whatever it is, that's fine. That's their process. My expectations would change. This is the second straight year they've said, relax, we know best. Well, prove it.
Guylo on Twitter says, your actions have dictated you think you're ready to contend for something. You need to be a double-digit win team at minimum. 9-7, 7-9, not that different. Basically, it's all kind of that mediocre bucket, time to step out of that box since they are so gung-ho. And it's true that they were basically 9-7 for a couple straight years before last year.
Right.
So you can make the case they've been there, they've done that, which is what Josh said on Twitter. When Scott was hired, the narrative was we're rebuilding. To me, that means you know, a failed season, a mediocre season, a division win, a playoff advancement, eventually a Super Bowl. So, yeah, I'd consider a failed season if they don't advance to the playoffs. Let's get to the phones, 800-636-1067.
Drew in D.C., first up on this. What's the success this year for the Skins?
Hey, Danny, you know, hey, I don't doubt you one bit saying, you know, going for a division title. And the only thing that I reason that I say that is they've been in the same scheme for over 4 years. And we, like you said, the left guard, you know, Stevie Wonder could see that they need a left guard and stuff like that, dealing with Sean about history of holding penalties and schemes and stuff like that. And then also in the process of Rashard Breeland, if they would stop letting this personal vendetta get in the way, you got a star cornerback that you can bring back for cheap. If for some reason, he already knows the scheme. He could fit right in. I just think, man, they need to, you know, humble themselves, man. And like I said, I understand Philly has a more dynamic team but stuff like that, but they should be over Dallas. They should be over – definitely should be over the Giants. So I don't think it's out of the question for them to at least challenge the Eagle for the division title. But like I said, that secondary is very weak, man. That's why I think our weakness is in that secondary, and I don't think they did enough to address it when they still got money under the cap space where they could have made some significant moves.
And that's the thing, Drew. Thank you, buddy. We got a lot of
calls. Don't forget, yeah. Drew, the reason there's a salary cap is because of the Redskins.
Please upgrade talent. You don't have to spend $60 million on Andrew Norwell, but there's a happy medium that it's not a guy that nobody else wanted. 32 teams said no thank you. And that guy's going to start at left guard for you. That frustrates me.
Just looking at the history here for the Skins too, Danny, when you talk about Jay Gruden's fifth year, I mean, this is pretty uncharted water in the sense of how long coaches stay here, certainly under Dan Snyder. Joe Gibbs is his own entity, and he was here, obviously, from the mid-'80s to the early 90s and won three Super Bowls. And he's in a whole different category. But in life since Joe Gibbs, Richie Pettibone had a terrible season. The only guy who has been here as long as Jay Gruden is Norville Eugene Turner. And if you remember, he got fired when they were en route to probably 8-8, 9-7 that year. He was a 500 or so, I think, like 7-6, whatever it was, with three games left. And they fired him, or maybe a game under 500. They ended up going 10-6 in 2000 or finishing 8-8 or whatever it was. But they'd gone 10-6 the year before that, won the division. Brad Johnson was a Pro Bowler. Steven David was rushed for 1,400 yards. The next year they spent all that money. Norv Turner got blown out as they finished 8-8. And that was, for him, his seventh season here. So the history says when a guy's around for five or so years, you're expected to win. Shanahan's fourth year, they weren't good, and he got blown out. So that's a big factor for me when I say you got to have a winning record, is how long Jay Gruden and the scheme on offense, the coaching staff, Callahan in the running game, you know, Kavanaugh was here before McVay, so it's not like you changed offenses in any way. Defensively, they've had continuity now at defensive coordinator. This is the second straight season with Minuski, who was in the building before that. There's not a lot of excuses in that regard either.
Let's go to Andrew in Landover. Andrew, what's up?
Hey, I think a successful season would be if we make the wild card, just because our division is going to be the best division. So I think just the wild card would be good enough considering – there's a Super Bowl winner in our division, and then there's, you know, Dallas and New York are always going to be improving. Instead of the left guard position, I'm more worried about the center position. I know we had John Sullivan, and now he's starting for the Rams. And
he's good.
It's kind of sad that we let him go when he Chase really is only in his second year. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate that. Let's go.
He had a great year, Danny.
Yeah, he really did.
McVay brought him over and started him right away. He's just a smart guy. By the way, Bill Fish says Redskins success, number one, beat the Cowboys. Number two, less injuries. Number three, better record. This is a topic for another day. I don't know if it's because I'm an adult or I'm 30 or why. I'm so over the Cowboys as like this number one task. I don't know if you still like care that much.
I care so much.
I just can't. They are a team I can't stand, but they're not different than the Giants or the Eagles in the division.
It's the most different thing that there is. If you're of a certain age, then I think that's the line of delineation for like, I think it's if you're 31 and under. I mean, there are some people, obviously, there are going to be exceptions to the rule, but you just go, yeah, they're a division rival. I hope to win that game. It's important to me to win. If you're, I think, around my age and older, you hear Dallas, you hear Cowboy, like your blood gets boiled. I start sweating. My heart rate goes up. I hate them and everything they stand for and all their fans so much that matters to me infinitely more. It's I would rather lose two games and if as long as I beat Dallas. You know what I mean? I'll go 1-2 in three games as long as Dallas is the one win. I can deal with it.
That's insane to me.
I know it is, and that's my point. There's older Redskins fans feel exactly as I do, if not more strongly, and then younger Redskins fans are like, well, I'd actually like to just win as many games as possible.
Right. I would like to do the goal at hand, the task at hand.
2 out of 3 is better than 1 out of 3, right?
Right. Dar, jot that down in the future topic notebook, if you would. We should circle back to that. Let's stick with this right now. 800-636-1067 is the number. How are you going to define success and failure for the Redskins in 2018? They are at camp. Practice number one is ongoing right now in Richmond. Grant and Danny on the Fan. No fretting, no worrying. The show's not ending.
I thought
just
we were.
Yet.
I got confused. Are we done?
Tommy's sending me out. This song normally puts me in a real good mood, like I'm about to go enjoy my day.
I haven't eaten lunch
just
yet.
Just an ultimate botch by me. I was looking for double vision because it's double play, and I just like a robot put in the wrong song.
Oh, that's okay, man.
It's a valiant effort. Either way. There was music played. Everything sounded very smooth.
What a tease.
It's just psychologically for me going to be very difficult now to navigate these next couple of hours, but we're going to figure it out.
Yeah, I've got a Pavlovian response thinking that I'm done. That's all for me. I'll pack my computer up.
Now I'm going to have to play Def Leppard for you because now the rest of the show is going to drag on.
Can I get Def Leppard twice? I probably need it twice.
You might need it a few
times. I probably
times.
Need it twice, Tommy.
I'm saying 9 wins for the Redskins and I'll be happy.
There we go.
That's the one. That's what we're looking
now
for.
Now we know what to do.
It's like we're restarting the show.
That's right.
Danny wants a playoff berth or bust for Washington. Let's get back to the phones. How are you defining success in 2018? 800-636-1067.
Kyle in Fairfax, what do you got for us on this?
Hey, guys. I think this team is a combination of really good talent or much improved talent, but they're raw at certain pieces. So I think 9-7 is unfortunately my answer. I'm pretty tired of this 800 game over the last few years, but I don't really believe that just because you bring in a quarterback like Alex Smith, that it all gels together in year one. I also think that the most important improvements needed for this team are running the ball and stopping the run, which is kind of obvious. And the pieces that they're asking to do that are young guys. They're asking Geis, Jonathan Allen, and Daron Payne to become the guys that take over those positions and fix the big holes. And they're just really young. So I'm encouraged, but because we're asking 22-year-olds to do it, I can't just say that they're going to be 10-6. So I think I'm okay with 9-7 as long as I see improvement in those areas.
Kyle, thank you, buddy. That's an adult response to it, GP, and that's kind of where you're going with it. I'm just more – I don't know how to describe it the right way. I mean, every element of their organization, top to bottom, if you knew you weren't going to re-sign Kirk Cousins, he should have been traded before last season for extra picks to build something. Instead, they tried to compete last year thinking that they were good enough. They tried to compete this year by going to get a 34-year-old quarterback that the second organization didn't want. And part of being a good organization is counting on the right guy, whoever that is, the guys that Kyle were talking about, the 22-year-olds, the 23-year-olds that haven't done it, the Quentin Dunbars of the world to step up and step in due to roster attrition that's natural when you have a salary cap league. You need to be right about all those things. They're putting a lot of eggs in a lot of baskets for an organization that hasn't won 11 games in almost 30 years.
Every team puts those eggs in those baskets. The only difference is the eggs hatch for the good teams, right? I mean, he talks about, well, you got a young running back trying to fix your running game. Kareem Hunt last year in Kansas City was unbelievable as a rookie. Alvin Kamara in New Orleans completely changed everything for the Saints.
Sure, David Johnson a couple years ago. Zeke
Absolutely.
Elliott, obviously. Leonard Fournette. I mean, yeah.
When you draft the right guy, when you draft a really good player, which, by all accounts, Darius Geis is supposed to be a really good player, sometimes that works out. You know, defensively, Daron Payton is young. You're right. He's also immediately their second-best defensive lineman other than John Allen on the team. So when you draft Fletcher Cox in Philadelphia, your run game improves the first month he's there and he shows up because he's that good. And that's the hope, is that these guys are that good.
Jeff in Fort Washington, what do you got, buddy?
Yes, hey, you know what, Danny, I thought you were going off the deep end until you made that comment about hating the Cowboys. So I agree with you on that end, too. But Danny, how do you actually, you know, there's nothing that the this area has given us to make the Redskins be a division winner. I think the only teams in this area that we can count on that should be considered division winner will be the Nationals and the Capitals. Everybody else should the expectations have to be tapered down a little bit. I think when we spent the money to or spent the draft picks to shore up the defensive line, that goes to that. The draft picks for the running back, those things, I think you can we have so many holes that there's no way we could fill them all at one time.
Jeff, thank you, buddy. Appreciate that. I didn't mean to cut you off there. Sorry about that. I was quick on the trigger. But here's my point. I'm not predicting they win the division. We're going to do predictions much later on, obviously, after training camp. We'll see who's healthy, whatever. Grant, I'm not predicting that they have the successful season. In fact, I think they're going to be 6-10, by the way, for the record. I don't think this is all going to work out because I think they're wrong. I think they're wrong in this, and they're walking around, you know, just in their tie going, watch this. Wait till you see how good this team is. I think they're incorrect. I think they've had a bad self-assessment here, and they're just okay. And their schedule is going to be arduous because they play that NFC South, which is infinitely better than what they've got. I think the Giants will be better, as you touched on. I think Dallas will be fine and competitive, 9-7, 10-6 type team. The Eagles, I think, will be pretty good. I don't think they're going to get to where they need to get for them to be successful. And that's why I'm saying they've behaved in a way that gives them a different self-evaluation than the evaluation I have of them. They think they're going to be pretty good. I need them to be right. Otherwise, you didn't have the right process. The right process would have been you kind of go with some of the younger players. You don't trade away assets for a 34-year-old quarterback on his third team. You don't fire Scott Campbell. You do things the way good organizations do them. But they've said, no, trust us. That's why I'm saying you put a lot on the line. You bet it all that Bruce and guys that are friendly with Bruce know what they're doing. Fine, you best be right.
Yeah, maybe I'm wrong. To me, maybe it seems like, not that you're upset with how they've done it or some of the things that they've done, but you're almost setting a bar so high it's hard for them to get to. Is that fair, do you think?
Because I know I sound like I'm fired up about it, but I guess here's my point, GP.
Let me finish really quick.
Please.
If they go 10-6 this year and play really well and they don't win the division, for you to kind of cross your arms and go, yeah, they didn't do that well, it doesn't take into account the last 20-plus years. And that would be, I guess, where I think, for me, it's hard to wrap my head around what you're saying.
Okay. I am taking into account the last 20 years. I'm saying you guys haven't done it right. You've gotten better. They're unequivocally better the last several years than they've been in consecutive seasons, over multiple seasons, than they've been in 30 years. They're acting like they've arrived. My point is you have not arrived. So I disagree with their process to basically go all in, so to speak, on this year.
Which I think is fair.
And that's my viewpoint. If I'm doing my evaluation, I go, you know what, we've got some talent, but we don't have enough A-plus talent. I don't think we're ready to compete. I'm not giving up a pretty sure thing in terms of Kirk Cousins and spending draft picks and money to go get a 34-year-old quarterback. I'm either going to draft somebody or I'll trade Kirk Cousins before last year. But they thought they were going to compete last year until the injuries derailed them, and that was their excuse. And by the way, it was a valid one. It was an explanation for why they weren't as good maybe as they should have been on paper. They doubled down on this regime, on Bruce Allen being in charge, on this group, saying, we know best, we're ready to go. Well, then go. Prove me wrong. Make me look like a jackass. Make me look like a horse's ass. You start doing special things. I think they've basically said, we're out of the mediocre bucket. We're not in that 8-8 group where a field goal off an upright makes us 9-7 or 7-9, where, you know, the which way a fumble bounces makes us this or that. We're ready to go. To me, you need to be correct if that's how you go in. It's the same frustration I have with the Wizards. If you're not rebuilding, you're saying we're ready to go compete. And they're wrong about being ready to go compete. That's been my frustration. I hope that it's clear. I know I'm
Yeah, it makes sense. And I actually think there's more common ground between you and the caller and me and people like us than is thought. I think the only disconnect or difference would be just how much is needed to prove that, not that they were right, but that the way that they went is in a decent direction. And for me, I think if you lose a franchise quarterback, which they did, and you make the decision to go get another quarterback, and in that same year with that turmoil and turnover, at, you know, a couple of years removed from losing a GM and losing a scouting director and all these things that have happened, and you're still over 500, I would say that's a job pretty decently done. You've put yourself in a decent position. The Beltway Blitz is next, Danny. We got to cover the teams in town. Folks care the most about, all jam-packed into one segment. And then after that, in the 12 o'clock hour, we're going to talk Steven Strasburg going to the disabled list for the 12th time in his career. Plus, there are a lot of NFL stories today from camps all around the country. We'll spin you around the National Football League. You're listening to The Fan.
Guys, it's Danny Ruye, and I'm an idiot. I just drank water, and it went down the wrong pipe, and I'm struggling to get my voice back, and I was coughing right up until the time I had to start this read for Tedbert Ford. Even I can get a great deal two times over at Tedbert Ford. I'm barely able to function. I'm having trouble breathing and drinking water. That's how much of a scuffle it is to be me, and yet I have a 2016 Ford Edge from Tedbert Ford and a 2017 Fusion from Tedbert Ford. I love both cars, I love both deals I got, and I love the experience I had multiple times at Tedbert Ford. Okay, you can go to Tedbert Ford, and they'll give you 120% Kelley Blue Book value for your trade-in. That's just to get things going. That's your appetizer, okay? That's your lovely shrimp cocktail that you can dip in cocktail sauce. You can probably eat so many of those shrimp because they're delicious. It's one of the greatest foods that we have on this planet. Then you can have your steak. You can have your great meal. Here it is. How about $13,000 off the MSRP of a new F-150? Huh? How about that? How about a Fusion, just like mine? $6,500 off the MSRP, or at least one for just $199 a month, 36 months. Plenty of deals, said Ford. Ford makes the car. Ford makes the difference. Go see him and tell him, Danny.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.